Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. We're broadcasting from the wonderful city of Washington, D.C. And again, we are the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back in just a I won't be right back. I'm going to stay put because tonight I was just giving some of our call-in some of our listeners a chance to come on the station because there are some announcements that myself, along with my co-host, who is should be on. I think we can identify. My co-host just about now, Brother Aziz.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, brother. Greetings to everyone.
Well, alaikum salam. And Brother Aziz, like I said, we was going to delay this evening's broadcast because this evening's broadcast, we're going to hear from Imam W.D. Muhammad, of course, our late leader, and we'll look forward to giving us our opening session since Ramadan is, we was looking forward to start today, but inshallah, we will be fasting tomorrow during the holy month of, the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. So again, during that month, as you know, Brother Aziz, you and I and everyone else have decided that we will not talk about business and politics during this holy month. For those, though, that that wish to continue our show, and especially those who are imams and those that can give us the history, but give us the facts and why we're fasting during this holy month, and they know the scripture. Well, so I wouldn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I let our imams and other experts do what they have been studying all our life to do. So if the shows will be open to those who wish to continue and talk about our holy month. Also, we want to mention that our brother Malcolm X, Malik Shabazz, Al-Hajj, Malik Shabazz. Those, you know him as Malcolm X. His birthday is coming up this coming Friday. And I think they're going to be paying tribute to our brother over at the museum, Brother Aziz. I think they have a feature, and they'll also be doing an iftar. Over at the museum. I think that's Friday on the day of Malcolm's birthday. So those of you who call the museum and you may want to mention or get your names in because again they will be serving food and you know you would hate to not have enough food. So for those of you who are going to go. I would suggest you go ahead and call over to the museum and get your names in. Any comments, Brother Aziz, you want to make before we go to the imam?
No, other than I'm, you know, looking forward to us celebrating Ramadan and those that's participating in it. And again, those that aren't, you know, that want to come on and do things, we welcome them on.
Okay, with that said, then, Brother Aziz, we're going to go ahead and we will be playing the Imam's tapes, Imam W.D. Muhammad's tapes most of the month. And so this is one that he did on Ramadan. So, we'll go to our email.
A McAfee drink is the perfect way to escape. If your heart is racing, chill out with a refreshing strawberry banana smoothie. When you need some excitement, take an adventure with a caramel frappe. And when you want to add a little fun to your day, let loose with a creamy chocolate shake. Sip the day away at McDonald's. Enjoy tasty drinks like a caramel macchiato, mango pineapple smoothie, and cool shake. A small McCafe drink is just $2 on McDonald's $1, $2, $3 dollar menu. Limited time offer. Cannot be combined with any other offer or any combo meal. Price and participation may vary.
Strongly logical. And he came to the conclusion that I can't put my mind, let my mind interfere with my search for understanding. I got to keep my mind out of it and just follow what I see and test it with reason and logic. So his orientation or his discipline for that kind of search was scientific. It was more than just rational. It was scientific. He watched the sun, and it came up beautifully. And he said, oh, this must be a god. It is so splendid, so beautiful. But he watched it. He wasn't satisfied to take his mind, his study mind off of what he was observing. So he waited until it got all the way up and started going down. And when it went down and out of sight, that's when he made his conclusion. He said, that can't be my God, for my God is not a God to test. Now, Abraham wasn't stupid. He wasn't testing the physical sun and the physical picture and language of things. And those ancient people weren't stupid. You think they had enough sense to run governments and societies and build ships and things and develop science? They had developed science too, to a certain extent back then. So don't think they were stupid. They were never seeing those things like the masses are taught to see them. They were never seeing it that way. They're always seeing those things as metaphors, as symbols of something in their own life. So not only is this Abraham's conclusion condemning one physically, looking at the physical thing and saying that's a god, but more importantly and more truthfully to the language of man and history. What he's saying is that this consciousness that you say is in you, that rises up out of you to light the world, your ideology is not God. I've tested your ideology. It's set. It goes out. It has its limitations. It dies. This is what he said. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. And I find it to be of the nature of all things in the material world. Your ideas are just like the everything else in the material world. Your ideas come and go. Right. One comes with a bigger idea, put out your light.
Yes, sir.
Like the eclipse of the bodies in the heavens.
Right.
One body come and cross the path of another body and put that body in the dark, even though it be daytime.
That's right.
Yes, all those are signs of what happens to man's mind and man's idea. So he found that none of these ideas could serve another God. None of these ideas could keep his life for him. Then we read of how Prophet Abraham and Moses, how they had to do battle with rulers of their day, with the rulers of their day. And a good example was Abraham too, but a very good example is Moses. Moses finally had to separate from Pharaoh and the Egyptian government rulers and go on his own. And they had to test their knowledge in a contest with each other. And Moses' knowledge defeated the knowledge of Pharaoh's learned ones in that particular knowledge. His knowledge defeated them. Then after he defeated their religious order, and he went out, God told him to leave Egypt. So he's kicking the people out, and Pharaoh's army went out after him. Pharaoh couldn't bear. We can't let this man go out after insulting me like this. So they went out to pursue them, right?
Yes, sir.
And in trying to pursue them, the follower Moses and his followers, they were blessed to cross the Red Sea on dry land.
That's right.
The sea parted.
Yes.
The waters parted them. Gave him land to walk across. And when Pharaoh's army tried to cross that same sea, the waters converged on them and drowned them. They were drowned in the water. This is a story. All has to be understood as I'm teaching you to understand things.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. So what does it mean? It meant that God had blessed Moses with a higher knowledge and a more powerful vision and strategy superior to that of Egypt. So when they tried to pursue him to prevent him from reaching, going to his destiny, they were overcome by things between, And this was water. It was water. So really what we understand by Moses being able to go through water and water not interfere, water not block him or cause him trouble, it was the psychology. Moses was given a superior psychology. And when the army of Pharaoh tried to do what Moses and his people were able to do, they failed. They didn't have the psychology. So their senses were drowned. Their senses were drowned trying to pursue him. Praise be to Allah. So Moses had scientific discipline, as did Abraham. Scientific discipline. But this religion is more than we think it is. And don't think the world is stupid. The world keeps us in the dark.
Right.
The world is not stupid.
Right.
Believe me, world leaders have known what I'm telling you. They've known it all the time. But you know, they hurt themselves when they hurt us.
Yeah, right.
And the learned wise ones, they knew it was coming.
Yeah, come on.
They said, okay, locking up the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Putting the ignorant ones in the dark and won't let them have light. So they predicted that there's going to come a time when that darkness is going to spread and cover the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Everybody going to be in the dark.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that they won't know certain things, but the light that God gave for the direction of mankind on this planet Earth, they would have lost it. Yeah? So they say there's coming a time when there'll be a book. And some person come upon this book and pick it up and try to read it. And he'll be a person that's not educated. So he say, I can't read it. So he takes the book to another person who's educated. And he asks the book, he gave him the book, this is the Bible. He gives him the book, and he said, will you read this for me? The man says, I can read it, but it's sealed, it's locked up. So there was an educated man who didn't know the meaning hidden under the symbolic language or the metaphorical language, or allegorical language.
Yes,
he couldn't read it. Reading it literally wouldn't be reading it. So he couldn't read it either. So the same Bible says There was a book no man could read. No man could read. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
In the Quran it says, and none knows that we but Allah. Huh?
Yes, sir.
No man knows it. No one knows it but Allah. Oh. Is that so? Yes, that's so. And Allah gave it to Muhammad. Then he told him that you have been missioned to teach them the book and the ta'wil.
Yes, that's right.
Both. Oh, yes. Yetlu is from ta'wil. Yetlu is from ta'wil. That you are to teach them, educate them into the knowledge of the ta'wil. Why would God have a ta'wil in the Bible, in the Bible or in the Quran, and nobody ever gonna get it but God?
Yes, sir.
When I was following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, 19 years old, I called that stupid.
Come on, come on, make it clear.
Yeah, I had one of the holier than thou sheikhs tell me once. No one knows that we really except Allah. It's in Quran. No one knows that we really except Allah.
Yes, sir.
Well, the Quran tells you over and over again.
Yes.
And God guides whosoever He pleases to guide. And God will give the meaning to whosoever He pleases to give the meaning to. Yes, He's the author, and they're in His protection. Always under His protection. And we can't get it unless He releases it. But if it's in the book, it's for man. So now, let's go back a little bit. We're not going to be drunk too long. I'm glad you found some chairs. Now that looked like justice. I don't like it when it's not justice. And you don't either. You might tolerate it and ignore it. I don't tolerate it. I don't ignore it. Yes. See, you're nice. You're real nice. I am too. But things, some things are more important than other things. Yeah. Oh, we used to sit on the floor on Stony Island. We ain't on Stony Island anymore.
There it is.
And this is not Juma either. This is not Friday. And it's hot. So please, make my homies as comfortable as you can. All the time. We're all in the same boat. Ain't no big eyes and little U's here. No. No. And Ms. Ferrant insisted upon that. That there be no importance among the laborers. No one standing up over the other are more important. No, we're all the same. The justice is one. One justice. And it got to be applied to all. Yes, so we're going back now, kind of stepping back to the beginning, where we mentioned the children of Abraham. His two sons, pardon me. Not the children, I'm sorry. Children of me, all the followers according to the Bible and according to the Quran too. His followers would be all the people that have came up in his particular mind or logic. Those nations that follow his logic are influenced by his logic. So following the spirit of his logic. Those who follow the spirit of his logic are actually educated and know his logic and follow the logic itself. They all are the followers of Abraham. Now, you see, two sons. Ishmael and Ishak, Ishmael and Isaac, two sons. Now, according to the Bible, the first born son was Ishmael. He was the first. He was older. Then Isaac. Isaac came afterwards. Now, again in the Bible, we have two sons. In the beginning, or in the Genesis, when the Genesis started, two sons. And these two sons are from Adam. One son is Abel. The other one, Cain. And if you have studied the Bible and taken notes, Abel was first. He was the older child. Cain was second, the younger. Now, look how they compare with the two sons of Abraham. Ishmael came before Isaac. And Isaac ends up getting recognition over his brother who came before him. And there was Abel and Cain. Cain ends up getting recognition over his brother who came before him. And actually, he buried his brother's life in the dirt, according to scripture, both Quran and Bible. Now, what are these lies? In Abraham, I've already described it. I think I told you, maybe I didn't finish it. But Abraham was devoted to social life, family, that means social life. Abraham was devoted to social life, but he also was a man of great faith. So he was devoted to both social life and spiritual life. Social life and spiritual life. And Jesus described himself as a reconciliation for both of those lives. He said, I come not of water only, but of water and blood. Water, the spiritual life, blood, the social life. Yes. So here we have these sons. Two sons in the beginning, and two sons in the beginning of Abraham's new world understanding that Abraham is going to bring. Two again. One represents spiritual life, one represents social life. Ishmael represents the spiritual life. Abraham put his wife Hagar, who was pregnant with his son, among a new people. And he left them there, and he went on to complete his mission for God, that mission he had to complete for God. And the baby needed water, and the mother couldn't find water for the baby. She was desperate to find water for her baby, Ishmael. And while she was in panic, she happened to look back to see how the baby was doing, and she saw a spring of water coming up out of the desert. Spring of water coming up out of the desert at the heel of her son. So her son was rescued by a kind of miracle. Her son was rescued. But if the water came up at his heel. And heel is what you balance yourself on. Heel is what you balance yourself on. You stand very comfortably on your heel. It is a round ball. Not a square, not a rectangle. It's a round ball. And things blown by the wind appears to blow those things in circles, right? When you're smoking, you look like you blow smoke rings, huh? You're blowing ring circles out, huh? Yeah, rings. And when you look at the heavenly bodies, they all look like they're circles. Heavenly bodies. as long as they did circle.
That's right.
Man made a mistake and thought the earth was flat like a table.
That's right.
Before science came and corrected his perception.
Yeah, that's
he right. thought the earth was flat, but he thought those things were round. Huh?
Yeah.
So when you read all this, and when something hit the water, it makes circles.
Huh?
Yeah. You drop something in the water and make a circle. It ripple out. Circle, circle. I could talk on and on and on this. I got a lot more to say about this. Water is something. Yeah. And a lot to say about our spirituality. Lots I could say more about our spirituality. But that's not the subject. So I'm going to have to stop. Hebrews, can you follow me a little further?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let's continue. I'm about to believe we are the black Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
All this stopping and stalling. Yes, okay. So we're looking at these two lives, the spiritual life and the social life. Spiritual life and the social life that God created to be together. And another sign of the two lives is when a woman gives birth. The first thing that appears is water. The water breaks. And then later the blood. Huh? But before then, she was alarmed maybe by a little spotting of blood. Huh? A little spotting of blood. A little sign that this is going to be life. It's not just a trip to the washroom. It's going to be life. Yes, but just before the baby is delivered, the water breaks, and there's a lot of water. The water breaks, a lot of water. And then come the baby, look like in blood, coming out, water and blood. Water and blood. Life. So it's a sign from God. The wise of ancient times unknown to us, they saw that as a sign from God. So they took the blood to be the social life and the water to be the spiritual life.
Yes, sir.
And they reasoned that we must be of both. We must have spiritual life and social life.
Yes, sir.
Of both. So, you know, Cain, hit his brother in the head, jealous of his brother's role as a servant of God. He hits his brother in the head and then buried his blood in the earth, in the sand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it looks like the murder, looked like he killed him, got rid of Abel. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that he pushed his social interest into material interest and killed his role in society, ended his role in society as a leader. Isn't that what has happened to us today?
Yes, sir.
They have put our social interest and social life in material interest, business and making money,
right,
and having material things.
Come on.
And have actually killed our role as social reformers and as leaders for the social community.
Yes, sir.
Yes. That's what has happened.
Yes, sir.
So don't think of the past when you read about these things. This is something that started in ancient times, but it's continued. It's never been stopped.
There it is.
It just keeps living and keeps taking the people away from their good interests and good life, wiping them out.
Yeah.
And after they bury them for a time and they get old, they make as much as they want. And the new order is not exciting anymore, not producing as much wealth. Then they change it back to the old order and start the game all over again.
Yes, sir.
So Abraham also is the educator. He's the true educator.
Right.
Because he's not guessing. He's following law, material logic, sound reasoning. So he arrives at the gate of science, the great illuminating at that gate and he opens it for the whole world of mankind. Mm-hmm. Abraham. So the one who perceives that all matter is connected and related and under one universal law, and that all matter can be studied by human brain, human mind, and human mind can arrive at its inner nature, the inner nature of matter, and discover laws hidden from the eye, and discover the nature or the behavior of matter, nature, or behavior of the original behavior of matter, being our nature, the original behavior of matter, that can be discovered. So he opened the door to a treasure that covers the span of the universe. Huh?
That's right.
And in the Quran says the throne used to be upon the water. But now, your throne extends over all the land and all the water. And then he said, he promised you a garden. It ain't Eden no more. It's bigger than that. See, it's expansive as the width of the heavens and the earth. Huh? Yes. That's the language of Abraham. They said, in this order that we have, it's the Millah, the order of Abraham, Hanifa, the upright one.
That's right.
Upright in his nature. Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Man of faith and rational concern, devoted to rational concern. Man known for digging wells. Now look at a well. A well, you make a hole in the earth so deep that you get down to the water level.
That's right.
Under the surface of the earth. And the water comes into the hole.
That's right.
And that's the well. And it stays at the level that it was, that it was at before.
That's right.
So you have to put a bucket down there and get it up.
Right. That's right.
Or build you some apparatus to go down there and bring it back up, right?
Yes, sir.
But even if you make the hole square, water is going to round that hole.
Right?
Yeah, in time, water will round that hole. So that's why the Quran doesn't only call it a water, a well, they call it ayn, an eye. Because that hole represents perception. It represents a way of seeing. But really, really, he doesn't want that. He just want to know, do I have you for good?
Yeah, that's it.
Do you like me so much you're going to stay with me forever?
Yes, sir.
I like it here with you. So let me convince you that I love you just crazy. I'm crazy in love with you.
Yes.
And you come back to his normal mind, you start to pet him, you might scratch out to the door floor.
That's right.
Yes. So we should notice those things. Eyeballs made round. So your vision, your seeing things should be universal. Like the round bodies of the heavens and earth.
That's right.
Earth is round too, yes. Science discovered. So your vision should be universal.
Yes.
And your vision should seek to complete itself.
Yes.
A circle, a perfect circle represents completion.
Right.
Your vision should seek to complete itself. And you should have one vision in common,
yes,
with mankind and all living things.
Yes.
That should be scientific.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Fish got an eyeball just like yours. In fact, I've seen some animals, if they could just take that eye and put it in my head, it wouldn't germ me up. They could fix some way where it wouldn't contaminate my body. You could have some eyes just as pretty as yours.
Yeah.
Prettier.
That's right.
From some animals out there.
That's right.
I look just like yours.
Yeah.
Pretty nice round eyes. Yes. So getting back to these sons, I explained Cain and Abel. Cain, the man of the ground. And Abel, the one who was a shepherd. He raised animals. And animals are family. If they're sheep, family of sheep. Cows, family of cows. Animals exist in family just like man. Even chickens. They have roosters and hens and family taking care of their babies, their biddies, and their chicks. So, but he was one who was a shepherd, the sheep. That's Abel? That's who I meant. Yeah, I didn't say his name. That's who I meant. Abel. And the Bible says Cain, he was thinking about or reflecting on Abel, how Abel was so loved by God. And Abel was raising animals. And his product is called fruit of the womb. Fruit of the womb. What mother, what a mother bear. What mother produced from herself. And the Bible, the product or the contribution of Cain is called product of the ground. Product of the ground. And the product of the ground that he was typical of is given in his name, Cain. Cain is the grass. Scientifically speaking, Cain is the grass. But, you know, Cain grows tall, very strong. And you can use it in construction. Grows tall and very strong. Very strong and hard on the outside, hollow on the inside. Isn't that greedy materialist?
Yes, sir.
You try to pat him on the back and rub him. Oh, man, ain't no life there. It's just like the outside of a cane. That's right. It's like the outside of a cane. And you try to reach him on the inside, ain't nothing there.
Yeah.
Hollow on the inside.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they're playing that for all of us. Hollow be thy name. I know it's spelled differently. But he said he made Adam of clay. Then Allah revealed to Muhammad and said, yes, clay and sounding clay. Not only clay, but sounding clay. Yeah, this man God made can hear the rain. I'm talking about the man that God made, not me. Talking about many, many that he made. Yes. So here's this one brother taking over the role of his older brother in society. Then Jesus comes and he says, I am before the world was. Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
So when did the world come? According to the Bible, Genesis, the world came, the industrial world came with Cain. Cain. Cain is the one, his children, Cain's children, became the industrialists. Stone cutters. Building great buildings and structures. Iron workers,
right.
Instrument makers,
right.
All of those things came with Cain's sons, the sons of Cain. Yeah? And Jesus Christ, he says he's before the world. And he says, all before me were thieves and robbers.
That's right.
Thieves and robbers. They only wanted to take your life that God wants you to have. They were out to take it from you, deprive you, rob you of the life that God created you to have on this planet Earth. All before me were thieves and robbers. Does it mean all before a particular man, a particular Jew, born of a particular woman at a particular time in history, single, flesh and blood, real person? No. He personifies. He's a type. He personifies. He's a type of that is in all people and belong to all people. And he's the type that's called Adam. When God made man, he created him, he called him Adam. And the same Bible says, and in that day, he named them Adam. Named them Adam. Created he them and named them Adam. To tell you plainly that Adam is a human type. So don't think he's one person. Then Jesus come too. We know that he was one person, but that's not important. What's important is that you recognize that he's a type, a universal type. That's in all people. And that's the type that Cain, you see, and took his role away from him in society. So if you notice, the scripture is just one theme. The theme is God's will for mankind and how the enemy's selfish ones interferes with that and rob man of the great glory and great promise that God created him for. That's the theme. That's the major theme from Genesis to Revelation. From El Sadi Hatu and Nan. Look how the Quran is. Say I seek Lord, seek refuge with the Lord of mankind. Refuge. I need your help from something bad. The God of mankind. Yes. From that wicked one who whispers into the hearts of mankind. From among both jinn and men. From among both jinn and men. Christian West allowed themselves all to be European, allowed themselves all to be called Gentiles.
Yeah.
Gen.
That's right.
it ain't no different. Gentile is the West language for Gen.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The Quran didn't put down all Gen. Said a part of them heard the Quran being recited.
That's right.
A portion of them
right.
heard the Quran being recited. And they said, what a wonderful recital.
Yes.
And no man should reject it. That's what the jinn said.
Yes.
And they asked the prophet, they everyone has a jinn. They do you have one? His reply was yes, and my jinn became Muslim.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So really the jinn is not necessarily a European or a man of the West, because there was a jinn in Solomon's kingdom.
That's right.
And where he was over there where Israel is now, Jerusalem. And he desired Sheba's throne. He admired her civilization so much, he wanted her throne to be brought to him so he would have for the Jews, or for Jerusalem, the throne of Sheba as the throne of Jerusalem, or the throne of King Solomon. And Sheba is African people.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
You can go over there and see them right now.
That's right.
Yes. In Yemen. In the area of Yemen. That's where you'll find them. So anyway, and you'll see that though time has passed and the Arabs have mixed with them a lot, you'll see your likeness in them.
That's
right. That they must have come from Africa. And the darker they are, the worse, most likely, the worse their situation will be.
Right.
dark people in an inferior situation to the light people. Look how many black-skinned Indians there are over there. But you go over there and you see the black-skinned Indians and you see the white ones. You'll see the upper class and the lower class.
That's right.
There's an exception to the rule. A black one will go up, you know, but on the whole, that's what you're going to see. Now, if I was a white man, turned on to what I know now, I'd be a white man, a sober John Brown. That's what I'd be, a sober John Brown. But I know my calling has to be among the people like you. Because you're the ones that's not favored. You're the one that's cut out of your promise more than anybody else.
That's right. Come on.
You're the one cut out of your inheritance.
Yes.
More than anybody else.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
so justice would be that the man that knows, have light on the subject, come among the people who've been kept mostly in the dark.
There it is.
Yes. So this is justice.
Right.
Yes. So Abraham was known for digging wells. And I've made some comments on the well, the water, the spiritual life. The spiritual life. The spiritual life is under the surface of the material.
That's right.
Even when you can't see it, you go to the ocean or lake and you see plenty of water.
Yeah.
You come to land, you think you've left the water. You haven't really left it. It's underground.
That's right.
Yes, it's underground. So the Quran says, and they shall have gardens underneath which rivers flow.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Gardens underneath which rivers flow.
Yes.
Talking of the material earth, but also talking of the human nature, the human life. Meaning that we don't have to show our spirituality like most spiritually charged people. You meet them. They can't hardly give you a greeting without letting out the spirit. Hallelujah. Glad to see you, brother.
Yes, sir.
So that's the water that's visible all the time.
Yes, sir.
Or you'll be cool, you know. You'll be calm and sober-minded. Won't be all charged up with a lot of spiritual stuff all the time. And you'll be doing your social business. You'll be doing your cultural business and all your business. You'll be taking care of your communities and your neighborhoods and everything, and having things grow up and multiply, become very rich and productive. And you ain't getting the Holy Ghost every time somebody look at you.
That's right.
You have gardens under which rivers flow.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Gardens under which rivers flow. A beautiful, productive society that have cultivated the earth and space they live in. And got all kind of beautiful trees and everything. Decorated buildings and just a beautiful material environment. Beautiful agricultural environment. Just everything so beautiful. Huh?
Yes, sir.
And you won't be so spiritually charged that it's visible all the time that you are Holy Ghost up,
yeah.
Or spiritual. Yes. Look, go back to the Bible. The Bible says there was a great civilization in ancient times. Huh?
Yes,
it was flourishing, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And four rivers went out from it.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
And what did that area become? That area became paradise. It's a paradise. So if you understand the Bible tells you that the first perception of paradise was perception of life thriving and flourishing. Life, human life, thriving and flourishing and being very beautiful and productive and not at war with itself. Having peace, huh?
Yes, sir.
And high quality. High expectations of one another.
Yes.
When it comes to moral expectations.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Decent disciplines and everything. Taste. Quality clothing.
That's it.
Quality property.
Yes, sir.
Qu- quality roads and streets.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, sir.
That's the way the Bible describes it.
Yes.
Oh, that's a beautiful place. And that place, where four rivers went out from it and fed the whole surrounding.
That's right.
Four rivers went out from it, fed the whole surrounding. And God gives you your provisions in four measures. It was inherent life. That's what all it's saying.
Yes.
The natural inherent life that God released. He caused it to spring forth from those people who devoted themselves to excellence. Their rivers of influences went out and influenced others around them, influenced them to become beautiful and productive. That's what it means.
Yes.
And it can be the same within your own soul.
Yes.
When God wakes the soul, the same thing happens.
Yes, sir.
It began to want beautiful things,
yes.
Want excellent things. Huh?
Yes, sir.
It begins to improve the appearance of the person.
Yeah, that's right.
Make it beautiful and clean and decent and respectful.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's coming from that inherent life that is given always in full. And he gave everything its provision in four measures. And the Bible says, Ezekiel said, yes, this is the valley of death, all right. And there ain't nothing out here but dry bones. But it's prophesied to the wind. Huh?
Yes.
How many winds? Four winds. Prophesied to the four winds. Going back to what is inherent and to awaken it. And it's the spirit that's inherent. It's the spirit. Spirit in us, in the spirit form. When you say wind, he means influence their spirit. You can awake their spirit and bring them back to life.
That's correct.
Yes. And the Quran makes it very clear for Khalaqa fasawwa, qaddara fahada. Four steps. Khalaqa fasawwa. He created, then he established equality. Qaddara, he empowered fahada. He empowered the mind, the brain, the thoughts, the header, and then guided. So the last one is guidance. The prophet in the Quran was being mocked, being made fun of by the ruler, the powerful ruler. And the ruler was saying, you don't have any help with me. The prophet said, I obey God who gives life and gives death.
Yes.
The powerful, arrogant ruler said, I give life and I give death.
That was his reply. That's right.
And the final words came from the prophet was, الذي خلقني سيهديني. He who created me shall guide me. And that's when he parted. He left the rebellious ruler. Said, he who created me will guide me. And the ruler, typical of the ruler who deceives us in these times, not the president, not President Bush. President Bush gets a paycheck. Yeah. Same old deceit. And the same thing we should say to them right now. Hey, look, we're tired of this donkey party of yours. Establish to take care of underclass people. You have not much to offer anybody else. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Donkey symbol.
Yes.
Donkey symbol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Committed to help the sister cousins get a job. Be employed by the rich or by the establishment, the wealth. Give them some medical care. We'll help you get medical treatment. We'll help clean up the medical system so it'll be fair toward you. we want to work toward the day when everybody would have a job, be entitled to a job and have a job, be able to get a job, be able to work. And everybody would be able to get medical insurance or to get medical attention. Everybody. That sounds like a church program to me. Sound like charity.
Right?
Sound like charity. That's about what it is. Are you telling us to quit the Democratic Party? No. If you can do anything to make it better, please, make your party better.
That's right.
And when it changes its symbol from a donkey, I might even come out publicly and say, this is my party. I said publicly. I'm not signed up to the Republican Party. I don't think that. Never. I never have. Never have. Now, their symbol is a big old elephant.
That's right.
A lot of material. Massive animal. Much bigger, has much more weight than a donkey.
Hmm?
Much more material weight than a donkey. And when he sounds off, it doesn't sound as grating and as uncomfortable for your ears as the sound of donkeys. That sound is this hard on you. The elephant starts blowing his snout. He sounds like a trumpet. Sounds like a loud trumpet blasting, like a trumpet blasting. And he's just a very, very complex creature. His strength is in his nose. That's his snout. And also his mouth is in his snout. His mouth and his nose in his snout. And his strength in his snout. That's the elephant. You should think about these things a little bit. Why the Republicans chose that time. He can give himself a bath. He take his same snout with the nose and mouth, and he take out the water, and then he can turn it around and just spray himself. Yeah, he has a shower, portable shower. Yes, remember. See that he takes around with him, he takes water and give himself a bath. Give himself a bath with the same snout. So the thing that he has his strength in cools him off when he needs it, cleans him when he needs it, and deals with hard tasks when he needs it. To move something out of the way, throw it out of the way, whatever. Using the same thing, the snout. And for his size, he got a very little tail. Not much of a tail. All his intelligence up front. Not back there where his rump is. So that's something to do. So that's the symbol of the rich life. That's the symbol, the learned rich people life. They like that symbol. And I don't blame them. It's a powerful symbol. Powerful symbol. And it speaks for what they stand for. Yes? And they say they are the Republicans. And actually, what is our society? A republic.
That's right.
It's a republic.
That's right.
Democratic republic. So the Democrats have a term that's just a description of this republic.
That's right.
And Republicans, they got the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if you come in and be their friend, oh, they want you now, because the time is out for the big divide between rich and poor. They know that the system should work for everybody fairly, and there shouldn't be no people by color or by class or anything else shut out of that opportunity. So the Republicans, they're inviting our people to join the Republican Party. And if you like their principles, and you...